Blog Talk Radio.
I got a letter from the government the other day. I opened and read it and burned that. Man, the way that I live, no concern that. Man, we gon' have to settle this another way. A letter from the government the other day. I opened and read it and burned that. Man, the way that I live, no concern that. Man, we gon' have to settle this another way.
Movement, music, move into it. Put a fist up, prove it to us. This is much more than music to us. This is beauty and strength. And if you know about the music, then you know about life. This movement, music, move into it. Put a fist up, prove it to us. This is much more than music to us. This is beauty and strength. And if you know about the music, then you know about life.
Word is
any kind of activity that takes place on the floor of the Congress or the Senate, that's the government. Any kind of dilly-dallying, that's the government. Any kind of pussyfooting, that's the government. Any kind of act that's designed to delay, or deprive you and me right now of getting full rights, that's the government that's responsible. And any time you find the government involved in a conspiracy,
I can never go back. Life without parole, upstate, shackled and trapped. Living in the hole, looking at the world through a crack. Fuck that, I'd rather shoot it out and get clapped. I've gone too far, there ain't no coming back for me. Auschwitz gas chamber full of Zyklon B. Just like the Spanish exterminating Tainos, raping the black and Indian women, creating Latinos. Motherfucker, made me out of self-righteous hatred. And now you got yourself a virus, stuck in the matrix. A suicide bomber, strapped and ready to blow. Lethal injection, strapped down, ready to go. Don't you understand, they'll never let me live out in peace. Concrete jungle, guerrilla war out in the streets. Nat Turner with the sickle, pitchfork and machete. The end of the world, motherfucker, are you not ready?
DJ Tony Drake.
This is DJ Tony Drake, a.k.a. Mr. Top Shelf himself. And right now, you're in tune to Your World News, where journalism and activism are not mutually exclusive. Here on yourworldnews.org.
You can't tell me life was meant to be like this. A black man in a world dominated by whiteness ever since the Declaration of Independence. We've been easily brainwashed by just one sentence. It goes, all men are created equal. That's why corrupt governments kill innocent people. With chemical warfare, they created crack and AIDS. Got the public thinking these were things that black folks made. And every time there's violence shown in the media, usually it's a black thing. So where are they leading you? To a world full of ignorance, hatred and prejudice. TV and the news for years they've fed you this foolish notion that blacks are all criminals, violent lowlifes, and then even animals. I'm telling the truth, so some suckers are fearing me, but I must do my part to combat the conspiracy.
Welcome to another edition of Your World News in collaboration with the Nimbrua Media Collective. This is, again, a collaboration of Your World News and the Nimbrua Media Collective. I'm one of your hosts, Solomon, and in studio again, joined by two outstanding student journalists, Dara and Kai. And today, I just want to hit the ground running. Like, quite frankly, I want to hit the ground running. It's cold here in the state of Maryland. It's freezing. I don't know where you are. We're listening to it, but it's cold, so I'm trying to heat things up. So we're going to hit the ground running. Today, the topic of our show is understanding and understanding of Eurocentric holidays and their impact on the African slash black psyche. As you know, if you listen to this show long enough, I use the word African and black interchangeably. Because if our ancestors were stolen from the continent of Africa, and they were stolen as Mende and Ashanti, Fulani, and so forth, and as Africans, it wasn't a magic slave ship or ships, I should say, that transformed them to something else. You know, they were transformed into something else because they were renamed and domesticated like animals. You know, having their first and last names taken away from them and being replaced with Eurocentric first names and the last names of their captors, of their slave masters who would go on to purchase them. They had their culture taken away, the drums, their cultural mores and things of that nature ripped away from them, eviscerated from them. Because once you take away someone's culture and rip that away from them, it makes it much easier to enslave them in perpetuity without worrying about slave insurrections. But as we know, black people, African people are very, very resilient, resilient people. And so therefore we know that history tells us that there were slave insurrections and there was resistance all the way through, whether it was the Stoner Rebellion, the great Nat Turner, Harriet Tubman is an example of African black resistance, Denmark Vesey, the Republic of Parmars in Brazil. You know, we look at the Maroons in Jamaica, the Cimarroons. We can go on and on and on. And so today we're going to be talking about something that is a great segue to that, and that is understanding Eurocentric holidays, right? Understanding Eurocentric holidays and understand them in a deeper way, how we navigate around these Eurocentric holidays once we learn about their history and things of that nature. And this is not to, you know, cast aspersions. It is to wake people up. It is to wake people up and to understand. And it doesn't make, because it doesn't really make sense to celebrate something without knowing the history of it. Once you know the history of it and you make the decision to celebrate it that way or to create some kind of deviation from it, that is up to you, but it's important to know the history. I can't imagine going to a country, upping and packing up and moving to another country if I got a job someplace else and then going and just blindly celebrating something without knowing what that holiday is all about. So we're gonna talk about that, but before we do, I'd like Kai and Dara to give you guys a welcome and any opening thoughts you might have about what we're going to embark on this journey. So ladies first.
Hi again, I'm Dara Somerville, and today I just hope that we're able to not only shed light on this or open this conversation to educate a little bit more about the holidays that we frequently celebrate, but just allow everyone to be aware on how or the origins of which it got started in, and just a little bit more history on what we actually celebrate or how it's represented now rather than how it was represented in history many, many years ago.
Yes, and I'm Kai Bradner. I'm happy to be back and kind of like what I was saying. Yeah, I think this conversation is super important, especially around the holiday season, where we kind of start to peel back the layers of what's really going on and dig into the history, because of course history influences the present now, and a lot of what was established back then I think can still be seen throughout how a lot of the holidays
thank you and I want to remind folks that the call-in number, if any time you want to call in with a question, a comment, a testimonial, you can do so by dialing 929-477-3696. Again, that's 929-477-3696. You can call in and we will take you in queue, first come, first serve. I want to open up by, I know we the three of us have listed, and there's some overlap with each list, but we've listed different holidays, and I want to start off with one, and that is one that just passed, and that is Thanksgiving Day. So Thanksgiving Day. So those that may not know Thanksgiving Day, right? This is something I didn't know until later on in life, but when I learned about it, and I started to do more research, and I was astounded, and I said I cannot continue to call this feast, you know, Thanksgiving Day. And I say the feast because when I delved in, I found out that before Europeans came to the United States, Native Americans, indigenous people of what's now known as United States of America, what they did, they had a harvest feast. They had a feast to celebrate and to celebrate the bounty of vegetables and things that they got from the earth, from Mother Nature. And you know, and that bounty was going to last them for the entire winter, because obviously in places like New England, you know, you're not going to be growing crops during November, December, January, February. You're not going to, you know, so that was going to last you. And so they had a large feast. Now, Thanksgiving Day, the origins of Thanksgiving Day, and anyone that wants to, I've got a bounty of primary sourced historical documents regarding Thanksgiving Day. One of the greatest ones that I've read, it's online. If you guys can go ahead and Google, you know, Glenn Ford, the late great black journalist, legendary black journalist, Glenn Ford. Type in Glenn Ford and Thanksgiving origins, and you should have a number of links that pop up where he breaks down in meticulous fashion, just like a scholar, the origins of Thanksgiving. And then there's a YouTube video that I created years ago with actually some students from this same program, that, you know, takes segments of an audio that was done by Mike Eli, and with our own kind of perspectives on Thanksgiving, and that's on YouTube, and that can be sent out as well. But Thanksgiving Day literally was a day, a holiday that came off of an actual massacre of Native Americans. So we're talking about Pequot, Nesquamicut, Native Americans up in, you know, within the, you know, the so-called Massachusetts Bay Colony. And you had these unsavory characters like Miles Standish and William Bradford, and literally these European invaders massacred. When I say massacred, I'm talking about men, women, and children, elderly being burned to death inside wigwams. I'm talking about human beings, indigenous people, having their heads chopped off, and these European invaders, I'm not going to call them pilgrims. That's far too nice a word. You know, it almost like a soccer ball, as we know, soccer didn't exist at that time, but almost like a soccer ball, kicking some of their heads down the dirt trodden path. And then dropping to their knees, folks like Miles Standish, you know, dropping to their knees and saying, let this be a day to give thanks for this bounty that we have, that you have bequeathed upon us. And like, what, who are you praying to? Who are you saying, let this be a day to give thanks? Unless you're praying to Satan themselves, this wasn't given to you. You massacred scores of people to steal this, and how dare you? And so this is the precursor to Thanksgiving Day. So as we know, it was Abraham Lincoln that made Thanksgiving Day a national holiday, but before it was a kind of a ritualistic kind of, ceremonial day, if you will, kind of just like culturally their culture, like, you know, to commemorate when, you know, the bounty of land was taken and in some kind of warped way saying that this was a day to give thanks. But later on, it was Abraham Lincoln during his presidency that made it a national holiday. Before that, it was just a holiday. It wasn't a national holiday. And people might say, and I can almost hear the contrarians run out. People say, well, I don't, when I celebrate, I'm not just me having dinner with my family. I'm not, and I get that. I understand that. I had no idea. I use it as a day when my family and I get together and we have a great feast. And that is totally, I understand that. But the same way when I found out, I just said, I cannot use this name. I cannot affix this name to a feast that I'm having with my family. And I am not going to fall victim to the mental indoctrination by glorifying, you know, these pilgrims, as we see at the Macy's Day Parade, and having people dressed up as pilgrims walking down the street. And of course people say, well, I don't ever do that anyways, but it's important for you to know the history, know how this came about. And so, you know, with my family, we don't call it Thanksgiving Day. You call it a harvest feast. And what we, you know, do is give thanks to the Native Americans whose land this originally was, and the great involuntary sacrifice that was forced upon them for this land to be called now the United States of America. It was ripped away from them in a very bloody fashion. And I think it's important. And I'll end on this. I then went to the source. I went to Native Americans, like full-blooded Native Americans, and their parents went to them and asked them, what do you do this day? And a lot of Native Americans throughout the United States call that day a national day of mourning. They call it a national day of mourning. And so I asked them, you know, what do you do? And they said, you know, sometimes we'll go out and the children will collect items of nature, like acorns and pine cones and things of that nature, and then we'll present them in the middle of the table, and we'll have dinner around there. And those are kind of like offerings. They're just bringing aspects of nature and putting them in the middle of a table. And I thought that was really, really cool. So that's mine. I'll stop there. But you know, I prefer sometimes to call it Thanksgiving Day. But Kai, do you want to?
Yeah, to kind of go off that, I think. So like Thanksgiving, Columbus Day, and July 4th to an extent are kind of like propaganda holidays, kind of like cleaning the pad, making sure everything seems nice and presentable. And especially learning throughout school, it seems like such a great time between Native Americans and the settlers, quotation marks.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very jarring to learn about the truth and how most people just like either don't care or unaware. And so I think it's a part of like what we're doing with this podcast is that educating is so important.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. And what you said, Kai, I just actually texted to you.
Yeah.
And I there's a great book that I just texted to my co-host it's a book by Dr. Issa Musa Barashango, and it's African People in European Holidays, A Mental Genocide. I actually have this book in my library. And it's about this book. If those that are listening in, you can't see what I'm my fingers are like, my thumb and my index finger are kind of together, and it's less than an inch. It's not a long book, but there's part one and part two, and he breaks down these European holidays and their origins. Really, really powerful information in there. But Kai, thanks. And you're right, especially when you look at you know, the 4th of July. And gosh, I'm so glad you mentioned, like, the 4th of July, right? 4th of July is a celebration, right? The ratification of the so-called Declaration of Independence. And we're talking about going all the way back to the late 1700s. Well, what were African people? What were black people, right? What were we doing in the 1700s? What were we doing for most of the 1800s? We were enslaved, in bondage, enslaved, being, you know, killed systematically, being worked to death. That's what was going on. So this was not a declaration of our independence. Mm-hmm. We didn't get any independence. We were still in bondage. We were still seeking and fighting for liberation out of that hell known as chattel slavery. So those folks that, you know, get teary-eyed, please. On the 4th of July, and, you know, bombs bursting in air. Like, listen, this had nothing to us, as Kai appropriately said. This is complete propaganda, And if you are a person of color, especially black or indigenous of this land, this is the 4th of July is definitely not a holiday that you should be celebrating and wearing. Please don't take those American flag T-shirts and the American flag jeans that you might have on. No, please, you don't need to wear them on that day. No, you know, save you know, that is not the time. So, Dara.
Yeah, I think 4th of July is very interesting and unique simply because, you know, especially as generation, well, I'm going to say, like, people that are younger than me, that of course they're not, or if, unless they take an interest in it, they're not as educated about the 4th of July as, you know, our older generation is. And I can say that it's definitely been, there's definitely been some more of awareness, I think, as social media becomes more prevalent for our generation, because people are sharing the history about independence or the 4th of July Independence Day and why we shouldn't celebrate it, why people of color shouldn't celebrate it, and just the hardcore history facts, and even simply representing the country with wearing, like you said, like the American flag jeans or something on your shirt. You're giving power to the people who didn't allow you to actually, like, that didn't actually see you as a person. So I think just, like, even though those are the historical challenges that we have, it's more about equality and civil rights than people think it is. And I don't think that's recognized enough, and at least my generation.
Yeah, so, definitely.
Yeah.
And what you said it's definitely not recognized.
No, because I don't think people take the time to actually educate themselves about the history of, like, for instance, 4th of July, because people just see it as another celebration with fireworks and, like, popsicles.
Yeah, beginning of the summer.
Yes, beginning of the summer. And so most people are out of school. So I think a lot of the time students usually ignore the significance of,
I think it's convenient to ignore that stuff.
It is. It's
by the die, you know?
It's easier to ignore it than it is because you see many companies are promoting it simply by putting, like, the colors, like, blue, white, and red on everything, or, like, you'll have the commercials or the jingles everywhere you go. So it's not, of course, it's a brand's job to promote this type of holiday, especially in America. So it is hard to ignore, but it's really not once you really take the time to put the effort into it. So.
Yeah. Yeah, you said something that was, that, you know, people don't take the time, and it's, and those folks that are kind of like the rulers, the ones that control it, like, you know, years ago, they, you know, they called it the 1%, that 1%, that concentrated minority that controls stuff. They bank on people not taking the time and coming up with every excuse and, like, what is it? Well, you know, what does it really matter? Well, if it didn't really matter, why would they put all that attention and that time into making sure that you didn't know the history?
Right.
Think about that. It's almost like, for instance, you hear this all the time where people will say, if you bring up the fact that, okay, there was a Jesus, that Jesus would have been a black man. We just what we know historically, like, he couldn't have been anything other. He certainly could not have been European.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll have the person that will say, well, what does it matter what color he was? And I said, and I will say, well, I'm going to ask you that question. If it doesn't matter what color he is, what color he was, why did you go to such lengths to recreate the original color that he was? If that's the case, why was it so important to create a falsified image? As we know, like, before, you know, Michelangelo was commissioned by Pope Julius II to paint that white image of Jesus on the Sistine, you know, chapel, because he wanted him to be white, because it would put white people closer to God, because at that time, you know, now you had people, Europeans, starting to go into different parts of the world, the global south, and encroach upon this. But before that, it was well known, like globally, that Jesus was a brown man, you know, no doubt about it. I mean, right at that time, there was no Suez Canal. So Bethlehem, which is in present-day Palestine, which we know is in the news right now, is as Gaza continues to get bombarded and people are having genocide committed upon them, that to get to present-day Africa into Egypt, all you had to do was walk across a land bridge, just walk across a land bridge, and it was right there. And before World War One, they used to call that part of the world, Palestine, that part of the world, they used to call that Northeast Africa. So, you know, with the holidays, you just I say to them, what? It's everything. What do you mean? It is knowing the origins of this holiday is everything. And why would you want to continue to celebrate something that historically left out a large group of people? The independence was only for Europeans. It was only for Europeans that were fighting against other Europeans for a plot of land that was never theirs to begin with. And so, yes, it matters. And guess what? To indigenous people, it matters. To the ancestors of black people right now that were in bondage in 1776 and 1777 and 1778 and 1804, it matters to them. It matters to them. And I'll stop here. Guess who else it matters? It matters to right here on this campus. We have a statue of Frederick Douglass. Frederick Douglass, 1852 in Rochester, New York, goes, and people look it up. Look up Frederick Douglass's speech in 1852 in Rochester, July 5th, 1852. And he goes and he gives the speech and he says, the 4th of July is a sham. It's a mockery, wild bombast. It is a holiday that I believe that he said should only be celebrated by savages. And he goes on to just talk about the hypocrisy of the 4th of July. And think about this. Slavery has not yet ended. This guy has the moxie to go and hold forth in Rochester, New York, and to say this. I mean, that's putting you on a lot of people's death list.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But to as they say, make it plain. Make it plain.
And then even when talking about holidays, like this upcoming holiday, Christmas, so I have to do a little bit more research into that because on the forefront, it's a lot of, you know, Christmas is a Christian holiday celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ, and it involves many, like, pagan traditions and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen, which I'm not sure if everything is correct, but what I've looked into a little bit more deeper is that the birthday of Jesus, it was mainly celebrated for like the summer. Well, the Romans mainly celebrated it for the summer or the winter solstice and winter festivals. And Christians mainly observed, or not mainly, but focused on Easter for the celebration Jesus instead of Christmas, and that wasn't until the 4th century, I believe. I definitely have to double check that, but I don't know. I think early records of what Christmas is, it's just so interesting, and even thinking about what Christianity is interesting in the sense that it was kind of forced upon slaves, and slaves were, even though they weren't properly told how to or learned how to read and write, they were always forced with the Bible by the slave masters. I think all these Christian holidays, they're just definitely interesting once you take a deeper look into what they actually stand for, like what they mean and how they came about.
Yeah, and Christmas itself is also like a hyper-capitalist holiday.
Yeah.
Exactly,
It's off of, you know, consumption. And, you know, it's nice to give gifts, but I think especially, like, in our culture, it's been like buying most expensive things, especially for a lot of people who are struggling financially. Christmas can be really stressful at that time.
Yeah.
I think the focus has definitely changed from the holiday of giving and spending time with your family and just being appreciative to things we can buy better gifts, and we're losing focus or losing track of what it actually stands for, like you said.
Yeah.
No doubt. It, and you know, that pagan holiday was Saturnalia, and you know, and pagan just meant, like, you know, nature worshipers. And so that was a compromise that was made between them and you know, the church, right? You know, all the way to the top. And that compromise was like, listen, you know, and that's where you get the Christmas tree, that fir tree, which is brought in the house, because, you know, they would worship nature at that time. They literally would worship nature. And so the fir tree is part of that compromise that was brought into the house. But because, and historically, if, you know, if someone, you know, not that everyone is this religion or that religion or so forth, but just, you know, those folks that study, like, theology know that Jesus would not have been born anywhere in December anyways. Couldn't have been born anywhere in December. And the other interesting thing is that when, you know, when he was alive, there was no, his name couldn't have been Jesus because there was no J. There was no J in existence. So Yeshua ben Yosef is what a lot of historians say that is what his name was, because there was no J. There was no J in the Roman alphabet at that time at all. And people can look it up.
Yeah.
When did the letter J come about? And so, but you make up some really even like really even more salient points about how hyper-capitalist it is. So you have people whose families, like, you know, you have people who profess that they're Christian, and their kids know more about Santa Claus than they do about, like, other aspects. So, you know, they'll know much more about Santa Claus. So it's and it can be, like, really stressful. Like, I don't have the pressure. Like, oh, I got to go buy this and got to go buy that. Like, that doesn't make sense that you have to. If you have the means, fine, and you want to buy some of the gifts, yeah. But no one should feel that the way to profess somebody their love is to buying gifts.
Yeah.
That's not how you profess love.
Mm-hmm.
You profess love by actions,
yeah.
Caring for somebody, asking somebody, hey, Kai, and how you doing? And me really meaning it.
Yeah.
And if you say, hey, I'm having a shitty day, me saying, being prepared to talk to you, like,
yeah.
Oh, word? Man, what's up? What happened?
Yeah.
Oh, man, you know, these midterms, man, stressing me out,
yeah.
You know, just, and being, you know, and that's showing love. That's showing love and being consistent about it throughout the calendar year. So.
Yeah.
And even talking, well, I forgot to say a holiday, well, loosely say a holiday, which is Halloween,
yeah.
Which is another thing that I think our generation has lost focus on what it actually was in the beginning, but I don't think it's really our fault. Most people don't pay attention to what it actually is, because I know that it originally didn't start as Halloween. It started as All Hallows Day, and then November 1st is All Saints Day. So I kind of think with that bit of knowledge, how it's changed into what it is now, as, like, you know, most people think of it as a devil's holiday, or just those kind of traditions. I think it's interesting because that's not how it started, but we kind of changed it into that. So the Christianity spread of which it was, it was more like holy, I guess. It's more Christian tradition, but, like, it evolved over time. So
yeah.
And, like, the modern tradition, of course, you know, it's dressing up and going, like, trick-or-treating and getting candy and going to parties and stuff like that, but it's more than what it was. But nobody focuses on that part.
Yeah, I think it's all lost, especially in this age. I just think consumption is just promoted so heavily, you know, buy candy, go out, go to a party, Halloween especially, but it's definitely a hard balance, and just figuring out, you know, how to navigate without, like, I guess, losing the meaning of the holidays, but also celebrating them your own way.
Yeah.
Yeah, and talking about losing the meaning of the holidays, that makes me think of Easter, because when I was younger, of course, like, I was taught what Easter was actually for, but as a young kid, I'm thinking, okay, you dress in, like, your Sunday's best, and you go to, like, wherever, like the White House or like Oxford Hill Man, you go and get, what is it, like an Easter egg hunt.
Yeah.
You get candy and see the bunny and stuff like that. But it's like, oh my goodness, that's what it turned to. Like, I think, yeah, everything just turned into something that it's not. And even like acknowledging the Christian roots of what Easter is, it is still taught. I do believe that is one of the holidays that is still focused on its roots, but it's still a little bit different than the adaptation of what it is now, like the blend of many cultural practices. But I think we do still, like I said, maintain the religious significance of it.
Yeah. And there's also, like, so many different holidays out there, especially being on this campus, you know, we're aware of so many different cultures. It's a great melting pot, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And, like, for example, I was Diwali not too long ago.
Yes,
and,
exactly,
yeah,
exactly.
And that's a beautiful holiday. And I, you know, just more mainstream, I guess, attention, the same care that, like, Christmas is giving other holidays, especially since America is pretty diverse now.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's no reason why we shouldn't embrace, you know, celebration.
Yeah. And that's a good point that you bring up. You know, I have an interesting perspective. You know, I grew up in Trinidad, and Trinidad is a small island nation in, you know, in one of the southernmost regions of the Caribbean. And in Trinidad, Trinidad has, if you ever went on a quiz show, I can't remember if it still is, but it has, you know, more national holidays than virtually almost any other country in the world. And that's because, so for instance, you know, we have an Indian population there. We have a population of people of African ancestry. We have people that are Muslim there. So there are national holidays, not just for Christian holidays, Kai, but also national holidays for people of the Muslim faith.
Yeah, like
so people get, Eid off.
Exactly.
You know, you have Diwali, because of our Indian population. So I grew up seeing the festival lights and the beautiful lights and the ray that come from Diwali. You know, we have something called Indian Arrival Day that talks about when, you know, Indians were stolen away from India and brought over to Trinidad as indentured servants. So you have this amalgam of all these different of holidays, you know, religious or otherwise.
Yeah.
But you're exact. But you don't see that here.
Yeah.
Like when someone during the wintertime, people don't usually say, "Hey, happy holiday." They usually say "Merry Christmas," not realizing, well, I might not be Christian.
Yeah.
You know, that person might not be Christian. Like, you know, that, and you know, because some of those folks would be irate if someone walks up to them and say, "Hey, happy Ramadan." I'm not Muslim.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of people that are Muslim. Like, why would you? You know, but you have no problem saying, hey, happy Easter or happy or Merry Christmas or whatever. So it's these perspectives that have been really imposed upon us. And one that I wanted to touch on, and I want to play a soundbite, but one that I want to touch on is if we think about, for instance, like expanding, I would love it if we expanded who we memorialize on Memorial Day, not just service people, but also expanded. So I often say, like, if we're talking about soldiers, then we talk about all soldiers. We talk about those folks who had to fight for their liberation during chattel slavery.
Yeah.
What memorialized Harriet Tubman or Nat Turner or Dermot Wesley? You know, these people were they were combatants as well. Or memorializing Geronimo or Sitting Bull, right? They fought against General Custer. Literally, they sent General Custer and the U.S. Army sent in to fight off the, you know, members of the Sioux Nation. And what about memorializing them? Sitting Bull, you know, Geronimo, and all those other indigenous people that fought these invaders that crept, that kept encroaching upon their land and killing off the bison to kill them off. And doing this to kill them off and so forth. I love what you said, Kai, because it is so important to expand our perspectives.
Yeah.
Our perspectives. Oftentimes, we have these blinders on and have been placed on us psychologically, mentally, and so we don't see anything outside of this Eurocentric paradigm. it's almost like, you know, blackface, you know, white mask, you know, and we're like we have black skin and brown skin, but our minds are consumed with European or Euro-American ideals.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, because my, well, the only thing I was going to say to what you were saying was my unpopular opinion is if we gave credit to the people who really deserved it, then, well, because we, let me start up. We know that Europeans want, well, this is my breakdown of it. They whine and, like, complain about what they don't have. So when they do get it, it's always in war. If we learn and understand what actually went on in history, they know they're going to be in some trouble. Like, we know, they know that we probably, I'm not going to necessarily say fight back, but there will be some adjustments within our educational system. And just, I think that's the main one, the education system. And even, like, in the workplaces, like, they really don't have as much power as they do have. They, I mean, they do because of all these fightings and all these aggressions, but they really don't because everything that they had to get wasn't earned. It was forcefully taken.
Yeah. And you bring up a good point because they have Confederate leaders in the South and the pushback that was taking down the statues, memorials, and the curriculum as well.
Yeah.
I think once we're able to have a final say on the curriculum, our curriculum being changed, and it's not all like sugar-coated or erased or whitewashed, then there'll be some actual like resolution to some of the problems.
Yeah, you don't acknowledge them. You know,
exactly. And you don't know what you don't know. And learning history as like in like elementary school, middle school, high school, if you're not taught about it, and you don't take the time to actually reach out. So first of all, how are you supposed to know to reach out and figure out what, like, the origins of many of these holidays are, and beyond what's on our, like, calendar that they give out.
They curate for us.
Yeah, and I feel like as this country becomes more diverse, we should be more inclusive in celebrating all these holidays and at least being able to recognize them. And like we do with the Christian holidays, take those time off, take the days off, because it's not just us who want to like stay with the family and be thankful and just give love and be a little more inclusive. It's like everybody wants to do that, so it's not a good feeling to be left out.
Exactly.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Yeah, really great point. And I want to just kind of bring up this perspective. We talked about that Frederick Douglass piece. This is the actor James Earl Jones, the legendary actor James Earl Jones, and he's reading an excerpt from that speech that Frederick Douglass gave in 1852 in Rochester, New York.
To ask, why am I called upon to speak here today? What have I or those I represent to do with your national independence? Are the great principles of political freedom and of natural justice embodied in that Declaration of Independence extended to us? And am I therefore called upon to bring our humble offering to the national altar and to confess the benefits and express devout gratitude for the blessings resulting from your independence to us? I am not included within the pale of this glorious anniversary. Your high independence only reveals the immeasurable distance between us. The blessings in which you this day rejoice are not enjoyed in common. The rich inheritance of justice, liberty, prosperity, and independence bequeathed by your fathers is shared by you, not by me. The sunlight that brought life and healing to you has brought stripes and death to me. This 4th of July is yours, not mine. You may rejoice. I must mourn. To drag a man in fetters into the grand illuminated temple of liberty and call upon him to join you in joyous anthems were inhuman mockery and sacrilegious irony. Do you mean, citizens, to mock me by asking me to speak today? What to the American slave is your 4th of July? I answer, a day that reveals to him more than all other days of the year the gross injustice and cruelty to which he is a constant victim. To him, your celebration is a sham. Your boasted liberty, an unholy license. Your national greatness, swelling vanity. Your sounds of rejoicing are empty and heartless. Your denunciation of tyrants, brass-fronted impudence. Your shouts of liberty and equality, hollow mockery. Your prayers and hymns, your sermons and thanksgivings, with all your religious parade and solemnity, are to him mere bombast, fraud, deception, impiety, and hypocrisy, a thin veil to cover up crimes that would disgrace a nation of savages. There's not a nation of the earth guilty of practices more shocking and bloody than are the people of these United States at this very hour. At a time like this, scorching irony, not convincing argument, is needed. Oh, had I the ability and could reach the nation's ear, I would today pour forth a stream, a fiery stream of biting ridicule, blasting reproach, withering sarcasm, and stern rebuke. For it is not light that is needed, but fire. It is not the gentle shower, but thunder. We need the storm, the whirlwind, the earthquake. The feeling of the nation must be quickened. The conscience of the nation must be roused. The propriety of the nation must be startled. The hypocrisy of the nation must be exposed, and the crimes against God and man must be proclaimed and denounced.
Okay, yeah, powerful. Mm-hmm. What were you just saying?
Yeah, no, I think just the power of words is always amazing, just how able to convey such strong messages.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like I'm gonna show a bunch of people that video.
Yeah.
I think it really like just conveys the message. You know?
Yeah.
Dave Morning.
Yeah, he was one of the great, great orators. Mm-hmm. In U.S. history.
Yeah.
You know, of any race. I mean, the man was just. I mean, just so skillful with the pen, and the thing is, I mean, he had to sneak to learn, right? He had to sneak to learn. I mean, he was supposed to remain illiterate, and he had to sneak to learn. I mean, that's just, it's just
perseverance.
Yeah.
Bravery.
Exactly. No doubt. Yeah, definitely. You know, as we go to the close, we, you know, in October we had Columbus Day. That was another one, Columbus Day. It is insane that it's still like, and I love the fact that yes, that there are more and more states that are moving away from that, but still it is regarded as a federal holiday. You know, just, I mean, why not, you can keep the day off, have a federal holiday, and you just completely take away that name and say it's Indigenous Peoples Day,
yeah.
Indigenous Peoples Day. And, you know, you compel all Americans to learn a little bit, something that you did not know about Native Americans before that day. You know, but the fact that he's still, I turn on like national TV and there's still people talking about Columbus Day in a very glowing manner. And I'm like,
that's American.
What the, yeah, exactly. He, think about it.
Yeah.
He actually epitomizes, right? Imperialism.
Yeah.
Which America does better than any country in the world, right? The United States does better than any country in the world. It goes and gobbles up this and gobbles up that, you know, so to have somebody like a Columbus in a Columbus Day, you know, unfortunately, like you said, so that's America, you know, it's very sad, yeah, that you know, that him the idolatry just even around like him is just it's powerful. Yeah, he sailed the ocean blue and let's think about how very white of you to just say that we discovered a place that people had been living literally for thousands of years, but yet the white man comes and he discovers as soon as a white person gets there, they get to say now it becomes a nation. Now it becomes something that is discoverable. Given let alone the fact that he never stepped foot in North America, that it never stepped foot. He was in the Caribbean, parts of Central America, South America, and everywhere he went, him and his men went, they brought death and destruction, brought death and destruction. Serial rapists raping 14, 15-year-old girls and Taino girls in Puerto Rico and so forth, and, you know, killing, you know, elderly people, feeding them to these hounds of hell that they brought from Southern Europe. I mean, it's just, you know,
I was going to say, it's just all unfortunate. Like, the history is unfortunate, and it just, for lack of a better word, sucks that has happened.
Yeah. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Yep. No doubt about it.
Like, what can you do? Man? We just deal with that information.
I know.
So far in the past, but, you know, it still feels so relevant.
The only thing that we can do is try to make it better for ourselves and for our generation.
Yeah. So, we have a few minutes left. Did I miss anything? I mean, you chalk this one up there as well. You know, it's a little bit off the beaten path, but still a holiday. And we were talking about this before the show, right? When you look at President's Day, count how many of those were slave owners that are, you know, you're talking about President's Day, you're talking about George Washington, you know, Thomas Jefferson, you know, these were slave masters. These were devout slave masters, devout white supremacists. The history, it's important to know the history. And then even when you look at, you know, good old Honest Abe, right? I implore people to read Dr. Lerum Bennett's Forced into Glory, which breaks down, and this is not my words, you know, someone will come at you. Let me not put Solomon's perspective in there at this point. Let me just put Abraham Lincoln's perspective in there. His words, not mine. Abraham Lincoln said, if I could have ended the Civil War without freeing one slave, I would have done so.
Mm-hmm.
I would have done so. If I could have ended it without freeing a slave, I would have done so. And then goes on to even talk about that there will be never a day in human history that the black man will ever be on par with the white man. You know, he was a white supremacist. He presided over the largest mass execution of Native Americans in U.S. history to date. He gave the orders and presided over, I repeat, folks, the largest mass execution hangings of Native Americans in U.S. history. All right? And so please don't walk around saying that he gave us our freedom. He signed the Emancipation Proclamation, which, yes, put into action that enslaved Africans were to be freed. Right? However, understand this, that was a movement of the pen that he made because of the pressure of abolitionists, black and white, such as Frederick Douglass, William Lloyd Garrison, who was a white man, and many others. They put pressure on him, all right, pressure on him. And again, you know, he said it himself, if I could have ended the war without freeing a slave, I would have done so. Be very careful about who you give that kind of power to that, they freed us, whatever, without mentioning the ground, the work on the ground that was done. I mean, that's like saying, you know, LBJ is responsible for the Voting Rights Act, the Civil Rights Act, without mentioning the fact that it was folks like Dr. King and all those other organizers on the ground that pressured his ass. I mean, he met with King in the White House secretly and told King, if you want me to sign it, make me sign it. Meaning that I'm not going to sign it alone without any kind of ground pressure. So,
yeah.
to go back to the Emancipation Proclamation itself, they didn't really free much slaves. The only free slaves, if I'm correct, in the southern states, the rebellious states.
Yep.
Yeah, it wasn't until later, like the 13th Amendment, that slavery was ended.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Unless you go to prison.
Yeah, exactly. good point, Kai. The 13th Amendment, people can look it up right now, right? It means that slavery is abolished unless you are duly committed of a crime. I mean, convicted of a crime.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, if you go to prison, it is considered involuntary servitude,
yeah.
Slavery,
yeah.
Right?
Work for 1 cent.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly. Products like, I'm glad you brought that up,
yeah.
Kai. I mean, that is a whole nother topic.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
amazing. And I
yeah,
had a professor here defend that, and I was so shocked. They're like, yeah, I mean,
they're black or white.
They're white.
Yeah, of course. They're saying what they gave them jobs and so forth.
Yeah, and it's like,
you know what?
Crime,
that shows you that not all, like, you know, a lot of people that are put in front of classes, they have no business talking about certain things because they are intellectually dishonest when they say that, because and that professor, he or she, whoever it was that told you that, is intellectually dishonest and has not taken the damn effort to look at the numbers. Because when you look at the numbers, those that do that stuff behind bars, when they get out because of this disenfranchisement, they can never, over 75% of them that are assigned carpentry or this in print, can never find a job within that field when they get out because they're disenfranchised, because no one wants to hire a felon or convict. So it goes with them.
Mm-hmm.
It goes with them. So they're full of crap, full of shit. We can say that. Full of shit. Whoever you professor are, you're wrong. All right? And I will debate you any day. But that is bullshit. No, it's not. It's not. You know, it's not. It'd be one thing if this was like Norway, where when you go to Norway, it's actually on reform. Exactly. So when they get out, they actually can find jobs just like that. Boom, boom, boom. All right. In Norway. Right. You go to Italy. They can actually vote. They bring when they have elections.
Really?
Yeah. They bring them to the poll. Yeah. They can actually vote. You know, it's here. It's complete disenfranchisement, man. The box, you know, that's why there's this movement to ban the box.
Yeah.
Because the box, like, you know, if you did the time, you know, outside of doing something like child molestation, yes, you should never have any kind of job anywhere near kids. But if you did something where, you know, say you stole a car and you end up doing 5 years for that, you know, just say 5 years, and you did that time. When you get out, you did your time. The whole purpose of me doing the time is that I paid the price, my debt to society. Why is I come out and now you're forcing me back to the underground economy to commit another crime to feed my kids, to stay whatever, because I'm not able to find a job. No one wants to hire me. You know, so I'm, glad you brought that up. Glad you brought that up. Yeah. Any last comments before we adjourn?
No, I think we said a lot of great things. And I think that with this information, we can all learn from each other and learn a little bit more.
Yeah. And enjoy your holidays, however you celebrate.
Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah, and think about the stuff that we brought up. I mean, think about the stuff, you know, that folks like that they said, including, I remember, Kai, you said, you know, think about those folks that you know, are too economically disadvantaged to provide, to go and spend, whatever, you know, thousands of dollars on their family and feeling that pressure. Feel the people that are, you know, unhoused, you know, formerly known as homeless, you know, that it's cold. It's barely cold out there. You know, what about them? There's more, and as we close, there are more foreclosed homes in this country than there are homeless people.
Yeah.
How the hell is that even possible, that people are unhoused when there's more foreclosed homes? So, till next time, we will, who do I want us to take out, man? I guess we'll go out with Brother Ali. Until next time, for Kai and for Dara, I'm Solomon. Until next time, peace.
Name of this song is Uncle Sam, goddamn. It's a show tune, but the show ain't been written for it yet. We gonna see if Tony Jerome and the band can just work this shit out for me. Straighten me out right quick. Nah, I like it so far, man. Yeah. Come on, let's go. Welcome to the United States, land of the thief, home of the slave. Grand Imperial Guard, where the dollar is sacred and proud. Let's do the shit real, come on now. Smoke and mirrors, stripes and stars, stoners for the cross in the name of God. Bloodshed, genocide, rape and fraud, written to the pages of the law, good law. The cold continent latched.